Well, thank you all for being here. I hope I don't disappoint you too much, especially my family that's right here in front. Yeah. Thank you for being here. My subject this morning is forgiveness. I wrote this sermon the first time 2 years ago. Over 2 years ago, and I've messed with it several times since, anticipating the opportunity to preach, and anyway, my question is, anybody here ever struggled with forgiveness? Gosh, I never, no. What is forgiveness? The dictionary... I always go to the dictionary. To excuse a fault or offense. To grant a pardon without harboring resentment. To renounce anger or resentment. Wow. Or their typical, the act of forgiving. That doesn't tell us much, does it? I want to share a personal story with you about a time in my life when I needed to forgive, and I think it became a necessary part of some healing. As a freshman in high school, big, tough football player, that's a stretch by quite a bit, but I got injured before practice ever started. I got my left femur broken. There were several of my freshman teammates, we were going to play the junior high football team a scrimmage game that morning. And so we were up on the, just a block west of here, and I had... didn't even notice some of my teammates running around, acting silly, tackling each other. What would, teenage boys, why would they do such a thing? I didn't notice them at all. I was just, as usual, one of the last ones out of the locker room because I'd gotten banged up earlier in the season, so I'd had to get my ankles taped and had a Cramergesic hot pack on my left thigh for every practice and every game because I was this big, tough football player, right? So I was just walking across the school grounds to go sit next to a couple of my teammates. Didn't pay attention to anything. I'm just zooming, going across there, and next thing I know, I'm on the ground. There's a bunch of some of my teammates and some of the junior high that we were going to annihilate. They were tackling each other, and I just got in the way. And if you've ever been clipped in a football game, that's what happened to me. Blindsided. I'm sure they intended to, whoever did it, well, I know who did it, but the person that dove for someone else, I just got in the way, and that was the deal. Needless to say, I wasn't very impressed. I didn't appreciate getting knocked down, and my first thought was to jump up and retaliate. I was going to knock whoever it was down. I saw them running away. But that motivation had to be put on hold for a while because I realized I can't even jump up. I can't even stand up. I couldn't walk. It was like, whoa. Okay, I guess I'll have to wait on that. The injury, of course, ended my football season. caused me to miss a whole bunch of things, like school, time with friends, church, time with family, Thanksgiving, basketball season. I spent the next 50 days in your neighborhood hospital in traction. And then in Winchester, we had a county hospital. I don't know how many rooms, maybe four or five at the time. I mean, it wasn't very big. But I, of course, was a model patient. Well, that's not true either. But anyway, excuse me. But I spent, after those first 7 weeks, then I spent another 6 weeks at home in casts up to my hip. And in the meantime, I had x-rays and stuff and to see if it was healing and stuff. But I was advised by the doctors that treated me that, you know, I might be glad that I could even walk, let alone maybe not run, and certainly not play football ever again. That was kind of disappointing because I thought sports was everything. But anyway. I got back to school, still in a cast, and walking on crutches in the spring. I missed 13 weeks of freshman year in high school. Now that might sound kind of fun to some of my teenage grandchildren here or anybody that's in high school right now, but it was okay at first. I thought that, yeah, that's all right. You know, I don't have to go to school. But it got old fast. And it made me very angry. I was bitter. I wanted to get even with the person that did that to me. And I plotted and I thought about that. And then, as the days went by, I realized that that really wasn't helping me any. I wasn't healing any faster. I wasn't even sure I was going to heal at all. But I really didn't understand why it happened. But I realized that I needed to forgive them. I needed to be thinking good thoughts, not... So I completely... I didn't either. I completely changed my whole life then. Do you change your life when you're 14 or whatever? Probably not. At least not for the better, anyway. I tell you that story because I know what it's like to realize that I've... to be hurt. I realized that you can be hurt by someone or something, and you really need to know how to forgive, because forgiveness is biblical. We've all been hurt by something or someone, either by accident or on purpose, and you could share that story. Many times it's not, we just were in the wrong place at the right time. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. If you haven't had a bad experience in your life, I don't know what you did, but you live long enough, you will. I can guarantee it. How you react to that trouble says a lot about who you really are. John 16:33, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have troubles. But take heart, I have overcome the world. When I was laying in that hospital, I didn't focus on that at all. I can't even tell you for sure that I even knew what that there was a scripture that said that. And I was a Christian. I'd already been baptized in this church, as a matter of fact. several years before. But I wasn't demonstrating very much faith, and I wasn't demonstrating very much forgiveness. I was more of the mindset of the day that don't get mad, get even. You ever heard that? Maybe that didn't even happen back in the late 60s. I don't know when that term actually came up, but I'm sure I was thinking it. That's not forgiveness at all. That's sure not a good Christian response. But I was doing like a lot of people would probably do, and maybe some of you have done. I was thinking about that trouble. If I thought about that verse at all, I was thinking about the trouble, not about Jesus. I'm sure none of you have ever done that. And I'm sure I'm fibbing. But one last note about the broken leg, and then I'll move on to what really you're here for. And that was so devastating to me. I mean, it ended my professional football career. No, that was never going to happen to start with. But it came up in a class reunion, my 50th class reunion. We were talking about why, I don't even know. I didn't bring it up. I'd like to put that in my past. But that's why a couple of years ago I wrote this sermon. We were talking about that, and one of the guys said, well, that was, pardon me, Dwayne, but Dwayne Cain broke your leg. I said, no, he didn't. He had nothing to do with it. He was trying to help me get on my feet. He was trying to help me get back standing up so I could get into the locker room to see, why can't I not walk? So my friends that were witnesses that day didn't even know who broke my leg. They were blaming somebody that was trying to help. One of the only ones that was there trying to help. And that's like, wow, I didn't know I was that bad a person. Oh, no, that was a different story, too. But it was just amazing to me when I thought back to when I was that age and that happened. Everybody knew who broke my leg. Apparently not. I did. But anyway. So what's God's word say about forgiveness? Was my original reaction a good one? Psalm 86:5 says, for the Lord art good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon thee. Oh boy. Okay, we get to ask for forgiveness. I wonder how much we should forgive others. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, but when you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sake in the presence of Christ. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. I didn't know all those verses then. That's my excuse. What's yours? Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And then Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Yikes. What's that mean? You mean that if you expect to be forgiven for something, you need to forgive too? Yeah. You expect God, who sees everything and knows everything that you think, do, or say, you expect him to forgive you when you fail, but you're not willing to forgive others when they have done something, whether they did it on purpose or by accident, that you consider they need to be forgiven for, but you're not willing to? Wow. That really gets me. I'm not very good at this forgiving stuff, even now. But I know someone that is, and I claim to know him really well. So maybe I better listen. Now, the troubles that we'll experience in life are nothing compared to some of the persecution that we see in the Bible and the examples of forgiveness that we see demonstrated in the Bible. Acts 7, the chapter 7, about Stephen. He's preaching the truth. He's telling people that this is what you need to do. And he is dragged out of the city and stoned to death by a mob for preaching that truth. But you know what his final words were before he died? Acts 7, verse 60. Lord, do not hold this against them. What? How about Jesus? Now, I'm not comparing, and I didn't write this in here, but I keep thinking, I don't want you, anybody here, to think that I went through any of the things that I'm going to say, that my little mishap in the overall scheme of things is nothing like what Jesus went through. But let's consider Jesus in his final days. Was he hurt physically? Maybe even emotionally? He was betrayed and denied by two of his best friends. He was arrested. He was falsely accused. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was tortured. He was mocked. And then when they get done with that, they trade his life for the life of a notorious criminal that was horrible. Then they strip him, they spit on him, they nail him to a cross between two criminals who also mock him. After all of that, and on the cross, and that's only part of what our Lord endured for us, what's Jesus say? From Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. What? Who does that? Jesus? Do we have to be quite that forgiving? Well, yeah, we should. If Jesus can forgive mankind for all of that, then there's no way, I hope, no way any one of us would ever have to endure what he did. If he can forgive after all of that, we should be able to too. So no matter what our circumstances are, we should strive to act more like and forgive more like Jesus. I don't believe you can forgive like Jesus if you don't know him personally. If you've not chosen to follow him personally, I don't think you can do that. And even if you choose to follow him personally, you have the responsibility to listen to that guidance and not fall for the entrapments of the evil world like we talked about for the previous. Because there's plenty of distractions, plenty of problems, and they're just everywhere. But we have freedom that was talked about already a couple of times this morning. We have freedom in Jesus Christ only. The world has nothing to offer, including forgiveness. They don't. And with Jesus, nothing is impossible. Amen? Amen. We've got to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. We ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. Do we always let the Holy Spirit guide and direct us? Whether we're talking forgiveness or anything else? We should. We need to work on that. I need to work on that. So once again, hopefully none of us will ever suffer the way Jesus did. But I'm sure every one of us has been hurt somehow. And most of that is out of our own control. Most of the time. But sometimes we make terrible choices. And then we have consequences. And bad choices oftentimes lead to bad consequences. And they can be on the part of someone or something, but they're still a reality. And we many times really need to look at ourselves and forgive ourselves for even getting into that mess. Because we can't control everything. We can't be in charge all the time as much as I try to be. We just need to think a little bit more. Forgive ourselves for our own failures, but forgive others for failures as well. We need to, I think I wrote this for myself as much as anybody in here, but we need to think before we speak sometimes. It's hard. It's hard for me to think about the feelings that I'm about to hurt before I say something. How we respond to our personal attacks, and there may be some, there will be some. The Bible guarantees that we will be persecuted if we're following Jesus Christ as we are meant to. We will suffer persecution. That's to be persecuted in the name of the Lord. That's a badge of honor. But the people that do that don't always know why. And they may deserve that same forgiveness that Jesus showed them, because they don't know what they didn't know what they were doing when they put him on the cross either. John 3:16 says, we all know that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Gave. You know what God did? He forgave the world, knowing that they were going to kill his Son. Nothing surprises God. He sees everything. He knows everything. So in closing, we need to do a better job of thinking before speaking, or looking before leaping. I thought that rhymed or something. I don't know. And do a better job of thinking about others before we think so much of ourselves. We can excuse the faults of others, but we need to stop with the anger and the resentment. I need to stop with anger. I'm in anger management. Not really. Not that I don't need it sometimes. Right. But we can't do any of that without the guidance of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. And you can't, again, you can't be guided by the Holy Spirit and know Jesus Christ and ask for that if you don't know him personally. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, there's really no time like the present to get to know him. And if there's anyone here this morning that would like to know more about this Jesus I'm talking about and how he has modeled how we are to live, talk to Jay, talk to me, talk to Mike when he gets back, but do it. There's no time like the present, because we are here to live our lives to serve Jesus Christ and strive to be more like him. So if you'll pray with me. God, we just thank you for this day. I thank you for this group of people. I think that I consider my family, my Christian family, my personal family. And God, I just ask that you will continue to bless and guide and direct us, and that you will help us to be more like you in all that we say and do and think. I just ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.